Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Faith Bible Church Home Edition. Weather the way it's been, just like I announced on Facebook, we decided to go ahead and cancel our in-person services for today and opt to do this online for my Facebook Live. And I'm actually really excited about finishing out the first stanza of Psalm 119 and just looking at having a committed walk. That's what we covered last week, but today we're going to be looking at being committed to the Word, which obviously if we're going to have a committed walk to God and our relationship with Him, then we've got to make sure we're committed to the Word. But before we get into the message, I just kind of want to do a few housekeeping things that I'm not able to do since we're not meeting together collectively as a church, and just kind of go through some announcements and just really just kind of lay out some things to be praying about. Obviously, continue to be praying for our 2024 for a vision of having a fit faith. And we're looking at being fit not only in our spirit, but our soul and in our body. As we talk about being fit spiritually, we're really talking about being fit mentally. And that's something that is really a big issue, I think, in our world today. Just a lot of people are going through mental issue struggles, and Christians are no different. That we have the struggles, we go through the same issues and problems that we do in this world. We're still in this flesh, we're still in this world, so we're going to go through some struggles. So we want to make sure that we are spiritually or mentally fit, and we're going to do that, of course, by the Word of God. And then that gets into also our emotional fitness when we talk about our soul or our heart. That's where we make our decisions of what we're going to do, you know, hopefully doing things according to the truth of the Word of God. And so, again, emotional fitness is important. Again, that's something that God has made us in His image, that of a Trinity. So that's why we are spirit, we are soul, and of course we are body, and dealing with obviously being focused on being physically fit to the best of our ability. God has only given us one body, all right? It's not like we can just waste it away and do nothing and then we get another body. No, that's not the case as far as this physical earth is concerned. And so we want to be good stewards even over our physical body and health that we have, because it's what God gives us to be able to get around and to be able to minister for Him. So that's our vision this year, being fit in every aspect of our being, spirit, soul, and body. Again, dealing with mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so let's continue to be praying about that vision and how God is going to use that in your life this year. I also want to remind you to continue to be praying for myself and an upcoming trip to Uganda. I'm going to be doing that in May, being there for about 17 days is what it's looking like, and just excited about that and that opportunity that has come to me just at the end of last year. You know, we're focused on being able to minister, being motivated to minister. It's an incredible opportunity God has placed, not just for me, but obviously for our church, because we're looking to for this year to set the groundwork and going over there, working with the pastor that reached out to me in Uganda, working in his city, working with a number of pastors in that area and abroad, and just looking forward to that. It's going to be 2 weeks of a lot of solid teaching in the Word of God, and so I definitely ask for your prayers and continued preparation for that. Again, May is not that long away. I know we're sitting here at the beginning of January, but in regards to preparation and getting there and getting everything together, Lord, we need your prayers in that. So be praying for that. Also continue to be praying for our sister churches that are rightly dividing. Obviously, Kansas City Bible Church, where I've been ordained to come down here. Been here for 8 years now, as of this month, now that I think about it. We're celebrating our 8-year anniversary of Faith Bible Church. And again, it's been a privilege of working with David Davis, the pastor at Kansas City Bible Church, and just, you know, ordaining me and Trish to be able to come down here for the work that we're doing here. Continue to be praying for them and all that they have going on, as well as the sister churches that David started when he was a missionary in Panama, both in Panama City and Cologne. Continue to be praying for that, because, again, we're out there for those who us that rightly divide the Word of God and focus on preparing for the judgment seat of Christ, but we are definitely few and far between as we understand this in the world. And again, that leads me back to Uganda. So excited about that, you know, there's other churches that are there that are rightly dividing, and so being able to be a part of that. So continue to be praying for those things. Obviously, continue to be praying for those who are on our prayer list. With that, we give great praise to just our God and just taking care of Kurt and Pam, and just the good news we heard with them, and everything is still going well as far as his eye, the retina being reattached, and everything going good there. So continue to be praying for that, and thank you for all the prayers people have been putting up for that. This coming Wednesday, again, we will be having our Bible study. It'll be a balmy 30-some-odd degrees on Wednesday. We'll be getting out of these negative digits and wind chills, and so we will be having our Wednesday Bible study at 6:30. So I encourage everybody to be be there. The focus for this coming Wednesday, we'll be having a Bible devotion that is focused on one of those three areas of fitness, whether your devotion is focused on being mentally or spiritually fit, or being emotionally fit, or physically fit. That's what the subject matter is going to be this coming Wednesday. So again, that'll be at 6:30 at church, and we'll have a good time in that. Without further ado, we'll go into our message today. And I actually want to read all of Psalm 119, and so we can have a review in a sense of what we covered last week and get into what we're going to see for today. So let's go ahead and read that. Psalm 119, and starting in verse 1, it says this: "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Like I said earlier, last week we looked at having a committed walk, and we see that laid out in these first four verses. This week, today, we're looking at verses 5 through 8 and looking at being committed to the Word. And really, I divided it down into two points. Verses 5 and 6, I'm looking at having a biblical attitude. And then verses 7 and 8, having a biblical actions. For those of you who have heard me preach and teach a number of times, you've heard me say this before, but when you have biblical thoughts, that leads to biblical attitudes, which will lead to biblical actions. And that's exactly what we want, and it really lays out into our vision for this year, again, of being fit in every aspect of our being, in spirit and soul and body. And so today we're really going to focus on having the biblical attitude that we need, because we see that with David and coming through verses 5 and 6, which then goes into having biblical actions, verses 7 and 8. And so let's, without further ado, because there's a lot that we need to cover today, and I'm excited about it, so let's have a quick word of prayer, and let's get into what we need to see here today out of verses 5 through 8 and finishing up this stanza. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do for us, and just, again, just for your incredible word. Lord, I love Psalm 119. I'm so thrilled that you've directed and laid in my heart to be able to focus on this psalm through this year. And just I'm excited about the things that you are going to show us, not just today, but as we continue on through the year. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to your word. If we're going to have biblical actions, actions that please you, then it starts with allowing your word to really get into our spirit, into our mind, so that we have a renewed mind each and every day as we spend time in your word, but also just having a biblical attitude in our heart. Lord, I know that there's things this week that have been on all of our hearts and minds, and things that have maybe really have gotten us down, or that we struggled with, or just having some issues and problems with. Lord, we need today, we need your word today to, again, to work in our hearts, to work in our minds, to be able to have the right biblical attitude so that we can have the right actions this week. Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified in everything that we do. Lord, I pray that you would be with me and just help me to communicate clearly and effectively on the things that you've laid on my heart in this message this week and finishing up this first stanza. Lord, again, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at it. Let's jump into this. In verse 5 again, it says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." And it's an exclamation point, as you notice that. And hopefully everybody has the Word of God open so you're seeing this and not just listening to me. But I really want to encourage people to actually see with their own eyes what the Word of God says. And this is something that, honestly, David's attitude is, this is like something that he's excited about. That's why there's an exclamation point at the end of this verse. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." And what's interesting, as we go back and just look at verse 2, let's notice what he's already said about, you know, wanting to keep the Word of God. In verse 2, it says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies." Again, that's another word, testimonies, in dealing with God's Word that specifically deals with the things that God has done, that you see throughout the Word of God, and specifically even the things that God has done in your life. And that's what we talked about last week. And so it says, keeping those testimonies. When you keep something, you guard it. You make sure that you're doing everything you can, that you don't lose it, or something, or somebody doesn't take it away from you. So it says, blessed or happy, well-favored are those who are going to be keeping his testimonies. You look at verse 4, where we ended last week. It says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. When we talk about keeping diligently, that means you're really having every kind of effort that you can to make sure that, again, you're guarding, you're keeping the things of the Word of God. And that's something that he says here that God has commanded us to do, which means that we need to do that. And so we come to verse 5, and notice this is the first prayer request that we see in Psalm 119. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, all right? I want to keep your word. Interesting enough, when you go back to verse 1, it says, blessed, again, well-favored or happy, are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And last week we talked about the way. I mean, Jesus Christ, he says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We saw that John chapter 14 and verse 6. He's not a way, like there's many there are many religions, but there's not many ways to heaven. There's not many ways to please God. There is only one way, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other. No other religion, no other kind of denomination, sect, or anything like that. It's only through Jesus Christ and the Word of God that's laid out here for us. And so when we understand that you're going to be blessed or well-favored in the way, as you're walking in the way of the Word of God and the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to verse 5 and says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. In other words, not being satisfied with walking according to the way that you want to walk or how I want to walk or what I think is what I need to do or my opinions or philosophies or anything like that. No, I want my ways to be directed to keep the statutes of God, His Word. I want to be in His way. Now, to understand this more, of course, we want to compare Scripture with Scripture. I want you to actually turn over to the next book of the Bible here from Psalms, and that is the book of Proverbs. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 20 to 27. Now, we saw a little bit of this when I laid out this vision on having a fit faith back on December 31st on New Year's Eve. And so it's kind of a little bit of review, but we're going to cover a little bit more here. So Proverbs chapter 4, we'll pick it up in verse 20 and read down through verse 27. Let's see what it says. Again, this is Solomon talking to his physical son. We think maybe Rehoboam, who was going to be the next king over Israel after Solomon passed off the scene. But obviously, in a devotional, a personal application, we can see this as God the Father talking to us, his son, our sons and daughters, as far as being in a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this. Let's pick it up in verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. So very specific. Don't listen to the things of the world or anything like that or some person. No, son, you need to listen to me. Again, think of this news. God the Father talking to you. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, notice this, in the midst of thine heart. Again, we're talking about having biblical attitudes. That means we need to keep God's word very in the center, in the midst of our hearts. This is how we're going to be emotionally fit. He goes on and it says in verse 22, it says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Again, ties right back into our vision for this year. He goes on in verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you thee a froward mouth, that is a perverse mouth, or speaking bad things. He goes, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Notice verse 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It is literally like saying the same thing in the prayer request we see from David in Psalm 119. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I mean, we need to ponder the path of our feet. Where are we going? Am I going down the truth of the Word of God, the way that's laid out for me? Or am I looking off to the right or looking off to the left and seeing what the world says, seeing what this person says or whatever? And no, it's like we need to make sure that we think and we examine the way that we're walking, that needs to be something that's not once a week. It needs to be every day that we're spending time keeping our eyes on the Word of God and the things that God has said to us, His statutes, His commands, His testimonies, His precepts, so that we are walking according to the way, the truth of the Word of God laid out for us, and not being sidetracked by the things of the world and every wind of doctrine, all the things that are out there that are trying to get you off track, because we know we're not going to be blessed if we're walking according to the ways of the world or to the flesh or something like that. We need to make sure that we're keeping the truth of the Word of God. I want to give you another cross-reference, again, in our doctrine laid out by the Apostle of Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. Again, we understand that our commands, our testimonies, the things that God is specifically going to hold us accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ is Romans through Philemon. And so I want you to notice something in 2 Timothy. Again, we've looked at this a little bit last week, but I want to look at it a little bit more. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to look down at verses 13 and 14. Again, this whole idea of just the prayer request of keeping God's statutes, and that our ways would be according to walking in the way of the Word of God. Notice what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, just verses 13 and 14. It says this, "Hold fast to the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And again, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed with the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about that by the end of this message. But it's like the things that God has committed unto us, which is the Word of God. That's what Paul is laying out here in verse 13. Hold fast. That's the same thing as keeping, all right? Hold fast the form of sound words. What's the sound words? It's the words that God has given us, and specifically in the dispensation of grace that He uses the Apostle Paul to communicate that to us. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing. What's that good thing? Well, it's the Word. It's the doctrine that's been committed unto us. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. And it's the Word of, or it's the Spirit of God that teaches us the Word of God. Let's go back to Psalm 119 because we've got so much more to cover. Again, you go back to Psalm 119. I'll read from verse 5 again and move on into verse 6 as we cover this point of having a biblical attitude. It says this in verse 5 again, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." That's a great prayer request to have this morning. And then he goes into verse 6, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." So you see how this prayer request goes right in to verse 6 and dealing with, "Then shall I not be ashamed." There's a direct correlation. If we, again, we're praying that the Lord will direct us into a statute, that we're keeping the statutes, and if we're having that happen and Lord's answering that prayer, which He will, then it goes on to, "Then shall I not be ashamed." Now, this is important. There are too many closet Christians. You know, you've legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you're ashamed. You don't want people to really know it. Whether it's at work or other people in your family, that sort of thing, you're really not standing on the truth of the Word of God and your relationship with the Lord. And that shouldn't be. That we have nothing to be ashamed of. And there's a number of verses that we could talk to you about and dealing with this. But again, just seeing from verse 6, it says, "Then shall I not be ashamed." When? When's that going to happen? "When I have respect unto all thy commandments." You see, there's too often in Christianity that we pick and choose the commandments that we want to follow or want to deal with. And a lot of times it deals with how we want to live our life. If there are things in our life that is not according to the Word of God, then we choose to not focus on that part of the Word of God because we don't want to change what's wrong with our lives. Let's just be real, let's just be honest. And that's not what God wants for us. We need to have respect for all of the commandments. And again, you understand, I talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we're not talking about, we're not responsible in this dispensation of grace to keep the things that God says to the nation of Israel in the book of Exodus or something like that. That doesn't mean that we can't learn from Exodus. I use that as an example because I preached through Exodus a couple of years ago and what we were coming through there about not being captive into the things of our flesh and of the world, but that we, again, that we're submitting ourselves to Christ. So we preached a whole year through the book of Exodus. One year I preached through the book of Job. And this year, obviously, I'm preaching through Psalm 119. all of the Bible is for us, but not all the Bible is to us. And so when it comes to specific commands, what is commanded to us in a dispensation of grace, which again goes back to what we talk about Romans through Philemon. Again, it doesn't mean that we throw out the rest of the Bible. It doesn't mean that at all. But it's understanding, again, what God is going to hold us accountable to in this time of what's called the dispensation of grace and how He's dispensing His salvation 100% through grace. You have to understand that. All right, but again, we should not be ashamed, of the Word of God that's laid out to us and have respect to all the commandments, and again, specifically to what He has spoken to us. Now, let's look at some things here with this. I want you to go to Romans. I talk about, again, the doctrine that God is going to hold us accountable for is the things that God communicated through Paul from Romans to Philemon. So let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 1 and actually verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Again, with anything, if you ever have any questions about the things that I'm laying out, whether it's when I'm preaching, whether it's through the podcast that I do on a weekly basis, which I encourage you to listen to, don't hesitate to send me a message, whether it's on Facebook, whether you text me, if you have my number, whatever the case is, on our website, on our church website, just get the message to me. I'd be more than happy to answer those questions. But hopefully you're in Romans right now. Romans chapter 1, notice what Paul says in verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I mean, obviously, Paul laying out that God chose the nation of Israel, the Jews, and has given them the oracles of the Word of God first, but also to us as well, as far as the Greeks or the Gentiles are concerned. Everybody who is not of the Jewish nation is Gentile or Greek, as I've laid out here. But again, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of grace that's laid out, it is the power of God into salvation. That is nothing to be ashamed. All right, I am not ashamed. I am happy to tell anybody and anybody who ever asked me, hey, I know I'm going to heaven. And the reason why I know I'm going to heaven has nothing to do with good works to try to earn my way to heaven. There's not enough good works to ever do that, to earn my way to heaven. But it's because, you know, some over 35 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. All right? He died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day for me. I accepted that. That's how I know I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because I teach the Word of God. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with accepting Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm not ashamed of that. And none of us as believers in Christ that have made that decision should ever be ashamed of that. But it goes on from there. It's not just understanding our salvation. It's understanding the study of the Word of God. Again, how am I going to have respect unto all of the commandments? I need to study and understand the Word of God. Now, you guys, again, if you've heard me preach, you know that we talk about this verse a lot at church. It is on my pulpit, and it's a verse that is there, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. So it's not just a matter of not being ashamed of our salvation. It's also not being ashamed because we need to study out the truth of the Word of God. That's how I have respect unto all of the commandments, and that's how I'm going to allow the Word, or the Lord's, excuse me, to be able to direct me to keep His statutes, to keep His commandments. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Word of God has divisions. We call it dispensations. It's not just divisions as far as Old Testament and New Testament. There's different ways in how God deals with salvation and gives eternal life to man throughout this some 6,000 years of history. Actually, it'll be a total of 7,000 years when it's all said and done before we get into eternity future again. But that's for another matter. That's for a different time and getting into all of that. But you see here in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved." It's great. We need to read the Word of God, all right? But it's also important that we study the Word of God. And this is not just a command for the preacher, for the pastor, for the somebody that is involved in teaching Sunday school, whatever the case may be. No, this is for every believer in Christ. We are commanded to study the Word of God. Why? So that we're not ashamed before God. All right? We're not talking about not being ashamed before men. Yeah, there's an aspect of that. But no, what the verse says here, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." All right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Being approved of God. Now, when we stand before the Lord someday, that we're standing there unashamed. Why? Because we studied out His word. And as we have been looking at in Psalm 119, we have respect unto all His commandments. That's important. I want to give you one more reference before we go back to Psalm 119 and talking about not being ashamed. And to do this, I want you to go back to Philippians. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 1. In the context, Paul is in prison at this time. And that's when he's writing the book of Philippians and other books as well. And at this point in time, he's like, man, I don't know if I'm going to die here or I'm going to live and continue on to minister. He kind of gets that answer as he's kind of debating this in a sense. But I want you to simply understand and see what he says in verse 20. We talked about not being ashamed of our salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We talked about not being ashamed before the Lord because, God, what? We need to study the Word of God, show ourselves approved unto Him. And that also works into our actions or our life. Notice what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Paul's saying, whether I live or whether I die, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. He's not ashamed of that. He has boldness in that. And you think about it again. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and salvation. Romans 1:16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. And then in Philippians we see in chapter 1 and verse 20 that he says again that he's not ashamed and with all boldness that Christ is going to be magnified in his body, whether it's by life or by death, Christ is magnified in his body, in his flesh. Again, it goes, falls right back into what? Thought, attitude, action. Spirit, soul, body. Being healthy, being fit in our, as far as mentally, emotionally, physically, in a complete aspect of ourselves. I love this stuff, man. I love this. That the Word of God is so important that it is in us, in our spirit, in our heart, so that it affects our actions. And that action should be what? That Christ is magnified. That people look at us and they see Christ in every aspect, in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. That's why it's so important. As we go back to Psalm 119, that we got to make sure that we're in the Word of God, again, mentally fit, emotionally fit. Why? Because that we can have a biblical attitude, so we have biblical actions. Because the opposite is true. If we have the bad thoughts or worldly thoughts and we have a worldly attitude, then we're going to have worldly actions. And that's not going to do us any good and it's not going to bring glory to God. It's not going to help anybody else to be able to minister to anybody else like we talked about last year. All right? And so it's so important to understand what it's saying here in verse 6. It says, again, from verse 5, verse 6, it says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, prayer requests, exclamation point. All right? He wholeheartedly means this. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Biblical attitude, because it's leading into now verse 7 in our second point, biblical actions. We saw a little bit of that just even from Philippians 1 verse 20. So let's look at it in verse 7. It says this, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now again, folks, I'm telling you, I could spend probably a good hour in just going through these four verses without ever using any really cross references, even outside of this first stanza of Psalm 119. And that's how incredible this is. And so I encourage you, even after you're done listening to me preach, look at it yourself. The Lord teach you even more. There's so much that is in this. But it says, I will praise. That is something that it's a vow. It's something that he's committing that he's going to do. And remember, we talked about having a committed walk and being committed to the Word of God. David's saying here that I will praise. He's committing himself to do this action. Biblical attitude, biblical action. I will praise thee. And how is he going to praise the Lord? He's going to do it with uprightness of heart. How you have an upright heart or a right heart is understanding what is right and what is wrong. And we understand what is right and what is wrong by the Word of God that we have right here. And that is going to be, we're going to see it even again as we come down to the conclusion in verse 8. So David says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. It says, when? When is he going to do that? When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments.
As you're learning the righteous judgments of God, it should cause you to have uprightness in heart, if you take it to heart, and the result should be praise. Now, a lot of times when we talk about praise, we just think that's what we do on a Sunday morning or some service when we got the music going and singing the hymns and the songs and praise and all that. That's when we praise God. No, we praise God literally by when we study the Word of God and thanking Him for it. When we allow the Word of God to get in our spirit, to get in our heart, that should produce an action of praise. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for teaching me. And this is something else that we see right here. It's not like you're just going to automatically have these things. You get saved and all of a sudden it's just going to be there. God doesn't just zap you with all of His knowledge and understanding and wisdom and all that and that. No, you need to be taught. It's no different than any parent in raising their kids, that you teach them how to do the right thing. You teach them how to function in life. It doesn't come automatically. You have to teach them. Well, the same should be true in the church. We call that discipleship, and that's why we have a one-on-one discipleship ministry where we'll sit down with you and show you and teach you what the Word of God says so you can grow in your walk and relationship with the Lord. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Well, I want you to go over to, again, the New Testament and to the doctrine to us. I want you to go to Colossians in chapter 2. Again, we saw this last week, but I want to review this in relationship to what we're seeing, as well as give you another reference in Colossians regarding praising God because of what we're learning in the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 2. And this is so important, again, even going as far as your mental and emotional health, and being able to praise God, all right? Again, a lot of times we can be down. There's things, like I said in our prayer, just things that happen throughout, whether it's work or throughout life, something going on in the family, whatever case, can bring us down spiritually, can bring us down emotionally, bring us down in our hearts and in our soul. A good way to deal with that is spending time in the Word and allowing God to teach you His righteous judgments, to understand what is right, to understand what is wrong, and to be able to be thankful for His Word, thankful for truth, and to be able to focus on praising Him instead of being focused on whatever's got you down and out. It doesn't mean that you don't deal with it. Maybe there's things that you obviously need to deal with, but you deal with it from a perspective of a biblical attitude, which you can only start getting through the Word and allowing Him to teach you. All right, that should give you enough time to get to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, I want you to look at it in verse 6 and 7. It says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." So we talked about that last week and just having that committed walk. How am I going to walk in Him? Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That means you're strengthened. That word established means you're strengthened in the faith that has been given to you from the moment you get saved, continuing to grow in that discipleship. But notice the last couple of phrases here, verse 7. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I just want to say right now, I am so thankful for the people that God has placed in my life, not only as far as salvation is concerned, going back to 1988, working at a Boy Scout camp where Eddie Wakes, a minister of the Word of God, was there at that camp. He's the one that laid out the gospel of grace to me, and I accepted it by the end of the week. I am thankful that God had sent him to me to teach me what it is about how to get saved in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for a man that I don't even know if he's still living. His name is Hal Cooper. Again, through Boy Scouts, that he sat down with me. He was an advisor that I had in dealing with a national committee I was on at the time, and he laid out to me the importance of me at the time when the Lord was dealing with me about being a preacher, being a pastor. He told me, you know, one of the things that, you know, you're looking for somebody that is going to be with you in ministry as far as a wife is concerned. You need to make sure that she is strong in her faith because she's going to have to deal with a lot in ministry. I am so thankful for Hal Cooper that taught me those things in the Word of God about making sure I have a biblical marriage, because ministry ministry is a tough thing. I thank God for that. I thank God for many men that God has used to disciple me in the Word of God, to train me up and to teach me and to get me squared away. I'm so thankful for David Davis, the pastor at Kansas City Bible Church, that really even more so grounded me in understanding, rightly dividing, and understanding the difference between Peter and Paul. I am so thankful for men that have taught me the truth of the Word of God. In other words, this is not something and things that I've learned that is just on myself. It's people that were faithful to the truth of the Word of God that communicated that to me, and that's what I'm trying to do for you. I am thankful for those things, all right? And that's praising God. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall learn thy righteous judgments, being thankful and praising God for his truth. Because there's a whole lot of people in this world that are walking in darkness. Their heart is dark. Their minds are messed up. Because what? They don't know the truth of the Word of God. And that's why it's important for us to be the example and to be the light in this dark and dying world. You're still in Colossians. Look at chapter 3 and verse 16. This is another good 3:16. We all think about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, there's a number of good 3:16s in the Bible, and this is one of them. Colossians 3:16 says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That happens as the word of God gets in your mind, in your spirit. You allow the word of God to dwell in your heart, your soul, your emotions. All right? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. All right? Your praise, as we're going to get into here, should be something that is able to teach one another, because it is the Word of God. Your praise is based on the truth of the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. That's, we're studying Psalm 119. In psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That first and foremost, you are praising God and thanking Him, because ultimately, even though I mentioned a number of people that helped me and discipled me, ultimately God used those people. It is God that taught me through His Word these things to be able to make sure that I am able to have a walk and be able to praise Him and all these things, because again, learning His righteous judgments. Now before we go back to Psalm 119, I want you to understand something else. And again, I used this cross-reference in our initial vision message back in December 31st there. But I want you to go over to Hebrews real quick, because again, what is David praising? He says, I will. He's the term, I will. That's future tense. Now, I'm going to praise you, Lord, with uprightness of heart. Why? Because you have taught me righteous judgments. If there's anything that characterizes the world today, it is a lack of right judgment, understanding what is right and what is wrong. We live in a world today where wrong is viewed as right, evil is viewed as good, and good, evil, and that which is right is wrong. We see it before our very eyes. And that's something the Word of God lays out that's going to happen in these last days that we live in. And we have been seeing it, folks. We have been seeing it. The crook doesn't go to jail, and the person that's a victim that defends themselves gets charged. All right? We're living in those times. All right? Where wicked behavior is what is uplifted and what is praised. And actually what is right according to the truth of the Word of God is suppressed and put down and you're called evil and all kinds of other names. Right? We ought to be praising God for those of us who are in the Word of God, because He has taught us right judgments. I want you to look at Hebrews real quick in chapter 5 and just in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. It says this. Actually, I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. He's talking the difference between those who are immature in the Word of God as opposed to those who are mature. And it says this, in verse 13, Hebrews chapter 5, it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, God's Word is described by many different things, and again, milk is described as the Word of God, and you think about a babe, as it says here, that somebody that's all a newborn needs is just mom's milk, all right? And that's how it's described for as a new believer in Christ, is somebody there on milk, or maybe you've been saved for a long time, but nobody's discipled you, you haven't grown, you're still in the place of milk. And there's nothing wrong with that, that's the starting place, but you should not always be on milk, you need to grow
to meat. All right. And so again, from verse 13, it says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That word discern means to be able to judge. You have to get to a place to where you're eating the meat and the doctrine of the Word of God. We live in a Christianity where people think, well, doctrine's not important. All you got to do is just love God, love your neighbor, and that's good. You know, you've accepted Christ, you're going to heaven, everything's fine. All right? Folks, there's so much more. That's the beginning. That's like, again, parents having a baby. It's a newborn. All right, that's not the end of the deal. That's just the beginning. You got to raise that child. Well, same is true in your Christianity. All right, it goes beyond just thinking about, if you really want to love God, Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right, you got to grow in the Word of God. And it's no different for us today in the dispensation of grace. All right, we need to be exercised. Remember, our focus, having a fit faith, we got to exercise ourselves spiritually, emotionally, physically, the whole complete being that we are. We need to exercise ourselves so that we can understand what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, that we have biblical judgment. So why? That we have biblical actions. Oh, there's so much we could talk about, but let's go back to Psalm 119. We need to be finishing up. Now, Psalm 119. Again, verse 5, prayer request. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Having a biblical attitude, you want and you desire to keep the things of the Word of God, to learn and grow in it. Verse 7, dealing with our biblical actions. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Another action here, as well as another prayer request, verse 8. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I will keep thy statutes. Let's look at that. From verse 5, how do we start today? It's a prayer request. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He's praying to God. God, direct me, keep me, help me to keep your word. And then, verse 8, at the end of the stanza, I will keep thy statutes. It's action. His I will physically keep your word. Lord, he is praying, Lord, help me, direct me to keep your word. And then in verse 8, he's saying, I will keep thy statutes. Help me, Lord, to do this. I will do this. Let me ask you the question. How many times have you prayed to God, you asked his help for something, have you followed through on your commitment to actually keep what he has answered you? I mean, by the time that David gets down to verse 8 here, it looks like the Lord has answered his prayer. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And so the Lord gives him that direction. He gives him the exact direction of how to keep the statutes, how to keep the Word of God. And guess what, folks? We've been laying that out in this message and coming through the Word of God. And so now that we know that, now that God has done his part in directing us to keep his word and how to do that, are we committed to doing it? I will keep thy statutes. That's a commitment. Committed to the walk, committed to his word. It's future. I mean, is that going to be the case for us tomorrow? I'm going to keep your word, God. Lord, I'm praying, help me to keep your word. Help me to walk in the word of God. And you know what, Lord? Tomorrow I'm going to do that, or do we just forget about it? An empty prayer request. We really don't mean it. David means it. I will keep thy statutes. And he ends this stanza with another prayer request. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now let's look at this. We've got to explain this before we call it a morning. In this aspect, in our doctrine, being saved 100% by grace, we do not work for it. We can't work for it. Jesus Christ has done all the work for us on the cross. We have a choice whether to accept it or reject it. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You have done that. God is not going to forsake you in the sense of you losing your salvation. You don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. That's not just me saying it. What does the Word of God say? Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. This is one of many places that we can talk about this in our dispensation of grace. Because that's not the case in the Old Testament. You could lose your salvation. There was no eternal security, as we call it, in the Old Testament. Nor will it be in the coming tribulation period after the rapture of the church. I mean, there's things that you got to obviously have faith in Christ. You need to keep the Word of God laid out at that time for your salvation. All right. And again, it's not like you can, in a tribulation period, you know, you get hungry and you can only buy or sell and get food if you take the mark of the beast. And so you take the mark of the beast. That's also fine because, God's grace, he'll forgive me. No, it's very clear. If you take the mark of the beast, the number of his name, you will be ending up in a lake of fire. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it, all right? And so even in the future, there's not eternal security. But in our unique dispensation of grace, 100% saved by grace. Yes, there's grace throughout the whole Word of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but if he didn't build that ark, he would have died in the flood. All right. But for us, we are 100% saved by grace, not by works whatsoever. It is very clear. Word of God lays that out. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, very familiar. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if you're in Ephesians, I want you to look at chapter 1 in verses 13 and 14, because again, it shows us that we are sealed, all right? We are preserved until we stand before the Lord, to not just the day of our death, but until we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And it says this in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. Speaking of Christ, it says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We have been sealed until that moment to where we are, whether we die before the Lord comes back, and he comes back, our body is resurrected, it is made again, it's a glorified body. We stand before him. We have been preserved. We've been sealed until the day of redemption, not just the day of our death, the day of redemption. When the Lord does that and in dealing with the body of Christ and the resurrection of those who have died in Christ, all right, as far as the body of Christ is concerned, all right, dispensation of grace. And so he's not going to forsake us. We're not to worry about praying, oh, forsake me not utterly, as in losing our salvation. But there is an application that we can have. Remember, every scripture has three applications of scripture. It is a historical application, there is a doctrinal application, there is a devotional, personal application. And here's something that we need to understand, that though we can't lose our salvation, we can lose reward. If we're not having our lives walking according to the truth of the Word of God, seeking to serve the Lord, pressing toward the mark, we can lose out on reward. We can lose out on the opportunity to be part of the bride of Christ. We can lose out being able to rule and reign with Christ. Yes, you're saved. You're in heaven. You won't be going to hell. But you lose out on so much. God desires so much more for us in Christianity. And it's something that is just lost, unfortunately, in Christianity today. I mean, we just focus on getting people saved, and that's it. We don't raise them, we don't grow them, we don't teach them how to have a committed walk with the Lord and be committed to the Word of God, to be used of Him. As I said last week, that our life should be an adventure, all right? It should be an Indiana Jones kind of movie, because again, trusting Christ and allowing Him to work through us in the lives of other people. And if we allow God to work through us, then we're going to be rewarded by being able to rule and reign with Christ. To be part of the bride, to be married to him, because right now we're just engaged. And engagements can be nullified or whatever. They can be like, you know what, forget this engagement, we're going to call it off. All right? Same is true. Again, not losing your salvation, but being married to Christ, being able to rule and reign, to be rewarded, depends on us having biblical actions. Biblical thoughts, a biblical attitude, biblical actions. That's what is going to be rewarded. And so, to understand this, I want you to go over to the book of Philippians. I have you at Ephesians, just turn a couple pages to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll conclude with this. Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to pick it up in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 says this, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, and ye have us for an example. Now, before I move on here, to understand this, because I talk a lot about understanding the dispensation of grace and how Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, and that the books that he writes to us, Romans through Philemon, are doctrine for us that we need to, that we're going to be held accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you believe that Philippians is the Word of God? Do you believe that the things that are in your Bible, Romans through Philemon, I mean, all of it is the Word of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the things that God used Paul to write is the Word of God, not the words of Paul, but actually the words of God? And if you believe that, notice what it says in verse 17 again. It says, brethren, be followers together of me. God allowed Paul to write that because it's understanding the doctrine that the Lord communicated to Paul for us today is what we need to do. And he's given us the example to follow him in that and how to follow Christ. In his dispensation of grace, he's given us Paul to be able to show us to do that. And that's why it says what it says here. He's not telling us to follow Peter, James, and John. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. But then there's verse 18 and 19. It says this, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. It grieves Paul that this has taken place, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's not talking about lost people. He's talking about saved people. But yet they will not be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because they are walking contrary to the doctrine that has been laid out to us through Paul. He weeps over them. They're actually the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, he says this, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, the flesh, whose glory is in their shame. Notice this last phrase, who mind earthly things. Instead of having biblical thoughts in their mind and their spirit, it's earthly thoughts. And the end result of thinking worldly and having a worldly attitude is going to be worldly actions which will not be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. All your work that you do in the body that is worldly is destroyed. So in that sense, where we're in Psalm 119 and verse 8, and that prayer request, oh, forsake me not utterly. In a sense, we can pray that again, it goes right back and ties into the first prayer request. Lord, Lord, please, Lord, direct me to keep your word. And I need to be committed, determined to keep it on a daily basis. Not just right now, but tomorrow and the next day. And oh, please, Lord, forsake me not early. I don't want to lose out of the judgment seat of Christ. Well, he has given me everything in his word to show me how I can be rewarded and not forsaken in that sense. But we have to decide to do it. Now, folks, we're just beginning this year. We're just beginning this study. We just concluded the first 8 verses, and as you can see, there's so much in it, so much to learn, so much to glean. So much that we understand what it is and what it takes to be committed. Again, it's this time of the year where people have their New Year's resolutions. How long is that commitment going to last? Is it going to last a month? Is it going to last a couple of months? Will it last the first quarter of the year? Will it last all year? Will it be something that will be for the rest of your life? Well, when we talk about a biblical vision, when we talk about what we're talking about now and being fit in our spirit and in our soul and in our body, what's our commitment level? Are we committed to do this each and every day, and not just for 2024, but for the rest of our physical lives? Because that's what the Lord wants. We have to examine our commitment. Am I committed to walk with the Lord every day? Am I committed to his word every day? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you. Lord, and I praise you for your word. It is so clear. Lord, it's evidence of what each and every one of us that we need to be doing. Lord, if we're going to be fit in every aspect of ourselves, in our spirit, in our soul, in our body, mentally, emotionally, physically, then we got to be committed on a daily basis to keep your word. Lord, let us not be guilty of praying and asking you to direct us and to teach us the things of your word, but then not be committed to it, to actually doing it. Lord, let us be unashamed of the truth of the word of God in our relationship with you, and every day be focused on learning and growing in it. Lord, I pray that you help us to be and having the best spiritual, mental health that we can have by allowing your word to dwell in our spirit, in our minds. That means we've got to open up your book, Lord, and we've got to read it. We've got to pray, asking you to teach us that. And Lord, and to let it work down deeply and let it dwell in our hearts and our souls so our emotions can be that which is of a biblical nature. And that when we are confronted with things that may make us sad or make us depressed or make us angry or make us, whatever the case is, Lord, that it's your word that's at the center of our heart that will center us and allow us to continue to be emotionally fit through the dark and tough times. So that our actions will prove it out. That we act and respond biblically and not react and do things in the flesh. Give us an understanding, Lord, please. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.